Dr. William Luther Pierce, 2001, A Riot in York.
Hello. 32 years ago, back in the summer of 1969, the blacks were rioting in York, Pennsylvania, just as they had rioted in many other American cities during the 1960s, with the encouragement of liberal and Jewish elements in the media, the government, and the universities. Democratic President Lyndon Johnson, just 6 months out of the White House, had provided an enormous stimulus to this black disorder during his administration with his so-called Great Society programs of special rights and special governmental protections for blacks. The general feeling among blacks in 1969 was that the white man was too soft and too comfortable to fight, and that he could be persuaded to buy them off if they raised enough hell. Certainly, this had been their experience during the past few years. Every time they burned an American city, the white politicians and the white businessmen not only would not punish them, but would offer them more handouts and more privileges in an effort to persuade them not to riot again. White businessmen in particular, always calculating which policy would yield them more profit, would rather buy the blacks off than have them hurt business with more rioting. And the white politicians, of course, always danced to whatever tune the media were playing, which definitely was a pro-black tune. So it is not surprising that the motto of black leaders at the time was, "We've got the white man on the run, let's keep him running." And so they rioted and burned and looted in one American city after another during the 1960s. And they were rioting in York, Pennsylvania in July 1969. On July 18th, a 22-year-old white policeman, Henry Shad, was shot dead by black rioters in York. Another white policeman in York, Charles Robertson, furious over the murder of his colleague, is alleged to have given rifle cartridges to a young white man he knew and told him that he hoped he would kill as many rioters as possible. 3 days after the murder of Henry Shad, on July 21st, a black woman was shot to death, presumably by one of several white men firing at the car in which she was riding. No one ever was convicted for either killing. Today, Charles Robertson is the elected mayor of York, and he has just been indicted by an ambitious York County district attorney for the killing of the black woman in the rioting 32 years ago. Mayor Robertson is not accused of actually shooting the Negress himself, but of being an accessory to the shooting by encouraging white resistance to the black rioters with his statements and by giving ammunition to one young white man. Now, in 1969, a charge of that sort wouldn't have flown at all. It would have been laughed out of court. In 1969, whites still believed that they had a right to fight back when blacks rioted and began killing white policemen. Whites still believed that they had a right to protect themselves and their families. White policemen still believed that they had a right to express their feelings about black rioters, and in fact to say whatever they wanted to say. But that was 32 years ago. In the past 32 years, the demographics of York County has changed. The demographics of the whole country has changed, has become darker, and so has the attitude of the public towards such issues as free speech and self-defense. 32 years of Jewish television propaganda has taken a toll. Today, Jews and liberals, both Democrat and Republican liberals, are just itching to prosecute whites for things they couldn't have prosecuted them for successfully in the 1960s. They are enormously proud of themselves for having won a conviction a few days ago against a white man accused of bombing a black church in Birmingham, Alabama in 1969. But this itch to prosecute goes far beyond shootings and bombings. Today they want to prosecute people for political incorrectness. They're not quite ready to say that in public, but whenever they can find a case they believe they may be able to win, where they can call it something other than political incorrectness, where they can stretch things a bit and call it something else, say, being an accessory to homicide, they'll go for it. So today the prosecution of the white mayor of York is a cause célèbre among Pennsylvania Jews and liberals, especially Republican liberals, because Charles Robertson is a Democrat. If we look back 32 years, the white liberals who today are so smugly pleased with themselves for having indicted Mayor Charles Robertson were campus liberals in 1969. They were occupying dean's offices, demanding more black faculty members, burning their draft cards, cheering black rioters, and generally tearing up our society. Charles Robertson was a working-class white cop whose job it was to keep our society from being torn up. Sometimes he was called on to drag white liberals kicking and screaming from a dean's office. Sometimes he had to thump one of these young white liberals with his nightstick. They called him pig and screamed curses at him. They hated him for doing his job. Today, as liberal district attorneys and judges and newspaper editors, they are getting even. Actually, it's much worse than that. When Mayor Robertson was indicted, members of my organization, the National Alliance, distributed some of our publications in York. We often distribute our materials in an area where some relevant current issue already has caught the attention of the public. Usually, the materials we distribute are topical, focusing on the current issue. But sometimes, we distribute materials with a more general message, and that was the case in York. We didn't have a topical leaflet prepared, so our members posted a few hundred signs around York bearing a general pro-white message. We thought that it would be good for the people of York to know that amid all the liberal gloating over the indictment of their mayor, there still are many white people who don't feel bad about being white. The signs we posted in York a couple of days ago bore the simple message, Earth's most endangered species, the white race, help preserve it. That's all that was on our signs, except for information about contacting the National Alliance. Nothing inflammatory, nothing provocative, nothing that should be offensive to anyone, black or white. And yet, the liberals went berserk. The local newspaper, the York Daily Record, screamed about our, quote, racist signs, referred to the National Alliance as a, quote, hate group, and then quoted approvingly the local president of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, who suggested that the National Alliance is a dangerous organization that the citizens of York should be wary of. Of our signs, he said, and I quote, there are enough people in the general populace who don't subscribe to this kind of talk. It's offensive to them and what they believe. Did you catch the irony in that? The local president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People finds the signs of the National Alliance calling for the preservation of the white race to be offensive, and says that there are many people in the general population who also find them offensive. But of course, they certainly don't find the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People offensive, do they? Well, the York Daily Record didn't find any irony in the statement by the president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People that our signs calling for the preservation of the white race are offensive. And the sad fact is that many of the white citizens of York also didn't find any irony there either. The majority of the whites in York, just as everywhere, are lemmings. They don't think, except as the controlled media tell them to think. They find offensive whatever the media, whatever their authority figures, tell them that they should find offensive. But they certainly don't think about it. They certainly don't ask themselves why preserving the white race should be offensive, but advancing colored people should not be offensive. It would frighten and confuse them terribly if anyone, the National Alliance, for example, tried to make them think about such things. They are much more comfortable just parroting the party line. And that party line, in its essence, is whites are bad, blacks are good. That may sound simplistic. And, of course, the mass media are careful never to state it that clearly. But, in fact, that is precisely the essence of the message with which they have been brainwashing the white public, not just in York, but everywhere, during the past 32 years and more. And the brainwashing has been effective, which is why the liberal establishment has decided that it is now politically advantageous to prosecute Mayor Charles Robertson when it wasn't politically advantageous to do so 32 years ago. And it's also why no one in the York political establishment is interested in finding and prosecuting the murderer or murderers of white policeman Henry Shad. 8 other white men besides Mayor Robertson have been indicted in the past few days by the York District Attorney. But all of the indictments have been in connection with the shooting of the Negress 32 years ago. No one has been indicted for the murder of Henry Shad. I have a strong suspicion that I could walk into the York County Prosecutor's Office with a videotaped confession from a black who shot Henry Shad on July 18, 1969, and no one in the prosecutor's office would be interested. And I suspect that the same lack of interest would be displayed by everyone at the York Daily Record. Prosecuting a black for the 32-year-old murder of a white cop or writing about it simply would not be politically advantageous. In fact, nearly every news report I have read about the background of the arrest of Mayor Robertson fails even to mention the murder of Henry Shad. They focus entirely on the Negress who was shot 3 days after Shad, and they paint the whole thing as just another instance of racist whites victimizing poor, inoffensive blacks. A good example is the account in this week's issue of Newsweek magazine. There's no mention of the murder of Henry Shad by black rioters on July 18th. Instead, Newsweek deceptively suggests that the riot was caused by the shooting of the Negress on July 21st, that the blacks of York were all happily and peacefully behaving themselves until a black woman was murdered on July 21st, and that's what started the riot. The Newsweek story, that's on page 30 of the May 28th issue, states that then-policeman Charles Robertson has been charged with, and I quote, supplying white gang members with bullets, urging them to kill as many niggers as you can, and fomenting a race riot, end of quote. That really makes it sound like the riot didn't start until Robertson had given cartridges to a white gang member and urged him to start killing blacks, doesn't it? But in fact, the riot had been underway for some time, and the black rioters already had murdered Robertson's colleague, Henry Shad, at the time Robertson is accused of fomenting a race riot. Do you think that was just sloppy reporting by Newsweek? I don't think so. I think it was a deliberate attempt to deceive, a deliberate attempt to place the blame for the riot on white racists, a deliberate attempt to continue the brainwashing of the white public with the white is bad, black is good party line. Well, we already had a pretty good idea that the media people and the politicians are liars and crooks. What is much more worrisome is the current state of mind of the lemmings. I mentioned a minute ago, and I've mentioned on many earlier broadcasts, lemmings don't think. And lemmings make up the great majority of our population, probably around 97%. Of course, when I say lemmings don't think, I am oversimplifying. Lemmings aren't necessarily stupid. It's just that they are constitutionally incapable of forming or holding an opinion which is contrary to their perception of what the people around them believe. And their perception comes from their television screens. They worship authority, and the faces and voices which speak to them with such certainty and self-confidence from their television screens are their authorities. And the same thing applies to the other mass media, not just television. Take someone who reads Newsweek magazine, for example, an intelligent lemming, a stockbroker or a high school teacher or a small businessman, but still a lemming, and tell him that the story about York's mayor, Charles Robertson, has been deliberately falsified. He won't believe you. Show him original newspaper accounts of the riot from 1969. These newspapers are still available. The lemming still won't believe you. Instead, he will become confused and frightened. You are trying to prove his authority wrong. You are trying to make him believe something contrary to his authority, something contrary to what all his peers believe. That's very disturbing indeed to someone who all his life has been an unquestioning slave to ideological fashion. Then tell your lemming, your stockbroker or high school teacher or small businessman, that the reason Newsweek magazine lies about important issues such as racial conflicts is that it is under Jewish control, that it is owned by Catherine Meyer Graham's Washington Post Company, and that, like all of the Jewish mass media, its aim is to undermine white solidarity, white self-confidence, the white sense of identity and community, and to instill feelings of white guilt and white self-hatred in its readers so that they will not resist Jewish domination of their society. Tell him back, and you will see the light of understanding go on in his eyes. Aha! You are one of those awful anti-Semites he has been told about. You are one of those terrible white racists, the very worst possible kind of person. Aha! Now he understands why you are refusing to believe the story in Newsweek, a story all right-thinking citizens should believe. Now he understands why you are trying to confuse and frighten him, and you will hear a loud clang as his mind slams shut. Try it, and that's what you will experience. Actually, I know that many of you, perhaps most of you, already have had that experience. That is the terrible reality of human nature, the terrible reality of lemminghood. The story in the York Daily Record I quoted earlier gleefully described the reaction of many of York's white citizens to our signs with the message, Earth's most endangered species, the white race, help preserve it. They were frightened and disturbed, the newspaper reported. They began tearing down all of the signs they could find. They called the police to report the signs. Within a day, the newspaper proudly said, most of our signs had been destroyed. I suppose that the mass media have a right to be proud. 30 years ago, the white citizens of York wouldn't have reacted that way to our signs. Perhaps not even 10 years ago. The change in attitude, the increase in feelings of white guilt and self-hatred, the enormous increase in the fear of being thought a racist, all have been wrought by the mass media in a well-planned and carefully orchestrated campaign of brainwashing, a campaign made feasible only by Jewish control of the most important and powerful elements of the media. I told you that the lemmings are frightened by our signs. Well, I am frightened by the lemmings. I am frightened because I know where this Jewish brainwashing campaign is headed ultimately. It is headed toward our total enslavement and then our annihilation as a race, as a threat to Jewish supremacy. The lemmings already have been brought to the point where they are ready to abandon the First Amendment. They are ready to have speech crime laws enacted so that they will not be confused and frightened by politically incorrect speech, such as my Earth's Most Endangered Species signs. A good third of them believe now that such speech, what York's NAACP president would call offensive speech, already is illegal. That's why they call the police when they see one of my signs. My estimate is that another third of them believe that offensive speech should be made illegal. Lemmings already have memorized the media argument that the First Amendment never was meant to protect offensive speech. They will tell you that talking about preserving the white race is like shouting fire in a crowded theater. It offends people of color. It might start a riot. Therefore, it should be outlawed. The Constitution was never meant to protect speech which might start a riot. That is where things are headed. That is where the masters of the controlled media have been headed from the beginning, despite all of their deceptive pretense of supporting free speech. America is almost there. Most of the lemmings are ready. They have been slaves to ideological fashion all their lives. Lemmings are slaves by nature. They certainly don't need free speech. It only confuses and frightens them. They will be happy to see an end to it. What about the rest of us, the 2 or 3% of the population who aren't lemmings? What about those of us who value freedom, those of us willing to fight and kill and risk our own lives in support of freedom? Events such as those taking place in York, Pennsylvania now can only be worrisome to us. The fearful reaction of so many of the white citizens of York to the National Alliance's signs can only be worrisome. The threat of the enactment of speech crime laws, followed by a government crackdown on all American dissidents and the imposition of total Jewish tyranny, is worrisome. And the fact that most of our fellow citizens will happily obey the tyrants and will help in the suppression of anyone like us who opposes the tyrants is most worrisome of all. The fact that we will be obliged to fight against the majority of our own people. But we still do have our freedom for a while. The tyrants who are itching to silence us and impose their rule on us still must hide behind a pretense of support for freedom. Let us use our time well, the time when we still can speak the truth and can organize and build for the future without having to break the law or shed blood. Let us not be silenced by fear at a time when silence is not yet demanded of us by tyrants. Let us speak out boldly now, not to the lemmings, of course, but to those capable of thinking for themselves, to those who value their freedom. Talk to them about the deliberate deception in Newsweek magazine, about the irony in the claim by the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People that our signs calling for the preservation of the white race are offensive. Talk to them about this broadcast. Make those who are not afraid of thinking think. Let us speak out. Let us organize. Let us build our strength now while we still have our freedom for the coming struggle against those who will attempt to take our freedom away from us. That struggle is surely coming, and it almost is upon us. Thanks for being with me again today.